calling the Tri-City Tipsnet. Calling the Tri-City Tipsnet. Good evening and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tipsnet. This is November Kilo 1 Victor. My name is Steve and I am located in Coventry, Connecticut. I will be your net control station for this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary for participation. All licensed amateur radio operators are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are welcome to listen. This net operates on 147.060 MHz repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. If needed, the secondary is 146.97 with the same PL tone. The net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informational operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of the net is to provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio, also to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. I will reset the repeater. The TIPSNET is a directed open net, and that means that we call for a round of check-ins, and when we have everyone checked in, we will go down through the list for comments and questions. During check-in, please state if you have any questions for the net. We will ask you for questions after everyone has been checked in. There are three sections to the TIPSNET. First, the open net with rounds of questions and comments. Second is a section for announcements and upcoming events and items of interest. The third is an opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or looking for amateur radio related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communications should be directed to the net control station. When checking into the net, please say, "This is," release the mic button, and listen to ensure no one else has called at the same time you have. Then slowly give your call sign phonetically, along with your name and location, and if you have a comment or question. I'll reset the repeater. November Kilo 1 Victor, your net control station for this evening. We will start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly.
Here is Kilo 0, Juliet, Echo, Bravo. Josh in Groton with the question.
Matt, here is Alpha 6, Papa Delta Golf, Kevin in Norwich, and no questions at this point.
This is Kilo 1, Delta Charlie Tango, Dave in Preston, with a comment from last week, a leftover.
One, Foxtrot Juliet Whiskey, Chuck in Groton. No questions, good evening.
Here is Kilo Charlie 1, Kilo Lima Whiskey, Jerry in Preston. No questions.
Kilo 1 Victor, your net control for the Tri-City TIPSNET this evening. I have the following check-ins. K0 JEB Josh, KA6 PDG Kevin, K1 DCT Dave, W1 FJW Chuck, KC1 KLW Jerry. Any further check-ins for the Tri-City TIPSNET? Okay, so at this point, Dave has a comment and Josh has a question. So why don't we go right to the top and we will hear Josh's question. K0JEV, go ahead with your question.
All right, good evening, Net Control, it's K0JB. I've decided to try and do a restoration job on a Philco 38-9 receiver, and it will led me to think, I'm just curious, more for conversation, of the operators on the net this evening. What's the hardest or most difficult radio related, amateur radio related project you've worked on and why? It's K0JB.
And K1V here. Geez, that's a good question, Josh. And I think we will start right from the top. Just go right down because I'm pretty sure everybody has a comment on that one. Because and also, Dave, we will catch your, you can either bring your comment up at that when you come up or we can come back around through for it. But K6PDG, do you have any comments on your most difficult project?
Steve in the net. First, if I could get a clarification on the question, I think he's asking about a technical project, or is he asking about any project at all? Back to Net Control.
Josh, I believe you're talking any project related to ham radio, but please clarify.
Yeah, any project related to ham radio, particularly one that may stand out for some reason, one or another, just thought it'd be good conversation. It's K0JB.
K6PDG, does that help you? Are you ready for a comment?
I just wanted to make sure I wasn't going to go off on a tangent that was not desirable. And just an aside, it's nice just to relax and talk on the radio for a while. It's been a busy day. I'd have to think a bit, but I guess what comes to mind, and I won't go into the long storytelling part of it, but probably the most difficult was not, because I don't build a lot of things, so it's going to be non-technical for me. Years ago, Jade, when I start out that way, I was on a net that happened to be the old Cadiddle Hoppers net, which was started by Red Skelton, who was a ham. Anyway, we had a situation where a guy came up. I'm trying to remember if he was a ham. I think maybe he was, but I'm not sure. Anyway, another ham ended up in communication with him on the air. The guy was supposedly in a vessel off of Baja, California, taking on water, had a broken leg, was all alone on a boat, and was going to need rescue. And there seemed to be some communications difficulties, and they were looking for somebody with a good antenna who could work the guy and coordinate with getting him in touch with the Coast Guard or something. So I volunteered. Let me reset. Tell the whole story, that's just to lay the groundwork. So I did contact the guy, and then I did contact the Coast Guard through a number of channels. I started with the Coast Guard air station, which was near my house, because I know people there, or used to know people there. One thing led to another, and it ended up where I was working the guy on the radio on Coast Guard frequencies with their permission. The guy turned out to be very, very, very intoxicated, and I was helping out with the comms, getting him to the right frequency and so on and so forth, and it ended up being a 23-hour-long radio project. And it was not necessarily pleasant because of the guy's condition. The Coast Guard was wonderful to work with. They were 1,000% professional and courteous. And they ultimately ended up just waiting for him to end up at a port where they could take him into custody. But that was probably the most difficult ham thing I ever did that comes to mind. KA6PDG, back to net.
K1V here, net control over Tri-City, tips net. Yeah, Kevin, that's a lot more than I expected. That's a pretty cool story. That's not what I expect to hear, but that's good. Very interesting. And 23 hours of anything can be monotonous, and trying to deal with someone that's in that condition and actually needs help is kind of can be stressful. Good relations, though, with the Coast Guard and stuff. That's always good. I'm going to take Dave, and then I'll probably do another round of check-ins real quick. K1DCT, Dave, do you have any comments on the difficult ham radio projects, or would you like to bring up the comment that you had from last week? K1DCT, Dave, go ahead.
All right, well, good evening, Steve and Josh, Kevin, and all those listening. This is K1DCT. Just a little follow-up from last week, because I was asking last week about programming the Baofeng UV9 Romeo. Well, I got my programming cable today. Came all the way from China on a slow boat, but was able to connect it and grab the exact same channel setup from my 5R, dump it in there, thing works great. So if you have any thoughts about picking up one of these 9Rs, I have a programming cable, and it was a piece of cake. So that was just a little leftover from last week. As far as difficult radio projects, I don't know. They're all kind of difficult. I guess probably the biggest one for me, most challenging, was putting up my tower. I had gotten... I got 4 sections of Rhone 25 many years ago. I had to dig a hole and pour some concrete, make a footing, and set the anchor rods at the proper spacing for the base plate. You know, that took a whole weekend pouring concrete and all that kind of stuff. And then I actually put the tower together on the ground and had a number of people come up, and we stood it up in one shot and then just picked it up and set it down on the base. So it was built a little unusual from what, you know, usually you'd assemble it one section at a time, but I had enough people to get it done at the time. So, that was pretty difficult, but it did all work out. It's right next to the house. It fit right in the house bracket like it should have. So, you know, a little proper planning was in play. But I'm looking at this model 38-9 radio that Josh is thinking about restoring, and it's a 6-tubes. Super heterodyne, it's got broadcast, one shortwave band. I have a number of antique radios, and one of them is a console from the 1940s. It's RCA, and it's a lot of fun to listen to stuff on that nice old tube radio. Got a great sound, so good luck with it, Josh, and I think you'll enjoy it. K1DCT, back to net.
All right, very good, Dave. Yeah, putting the tower up full length, that's got to be a project for sure. And Yeah, that's definitely got to be a project. And yeah, that's a good tip on the ball things. That's good to know. I kind of, so far as Chinese radios, I have been messing with the Wuxons, and they're similar setup. I'm able to cross stuff between my 3 and my 6, even though I need to do it a little bit differently to file this over. But those do have their purpose in the hobby, and they're kind of fun to mess around with. And they're not too much if you end up throwing it in the river to lose. This is NK1V for the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club. Are there any further check-ins for the TIPSnet? Nothing heard. Then we'll move on to Chuck, W1FJW. Do you have I can imagine some of your projects, and any other comment on the difficult projects or on the ball things, if you have anything or anything else that might come to your mind. Go ahead, Chuck.
Well, the first is the most difficult project was a couple years ago, rebuilding Allied Radio Explorer Air. It's about a 3-tube AC-DC set. And the big challenge is making it safe and quiet, getting it fitted with the 3-prong plug so the chassis is actually grounded, and figuring out which capacitors were bad, which is pretty close to all of them, and getting minor tweaks to the circuit to make the thing get some of the hum and noise out of it. And I think that was probably about the most unsettling. Now, Josh has a piece of history there, and that if I'm understanding his description right, this radio has an electrodynamic loudspeaker. This is a speaker in which the magnet for the speaker is the power supply filter choke. This was popular in the 30s and 40s, because back then they did not have good permanent magnets, and the AC signal on the voice coil of the speaker would slowly demagnetize the magnet, so they used modified filter choke to supply the field for the loudspeaker and filter the hum out of the power supply, since electrolytics weren't very good back then. That's my comments. Back to net, W1FJW.
That's actually interesting information. I would have never known unless I had dug it up and read about it. And yeah, that's cool. Next, KC1, KLW, Jerry, you got any comments on difficult projects or on the bullfangs or anything else that's on your mind?
KC1, KLW. I have no real questions about the bullfang today, but I do have some curiosity about Dave's antenna mast, about how he erected it and how he get it up vertical. I too came into the possession of a Rhone 45 antenna mast system, and I have to do some repairs on it and take a quick break. I need to get some specifics on how to get a footing created for it. What are the requirements, and I need to get it documented as well. So if I can get in touch with Dave somehow or make a landline call offline and then get some information about that, that would be very helpful to me. KC1KLW, back to net.
Good question, and this is NK1V for Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. One of the important things to do, I have not personally put, actually, I guess I have put a tower up because our radio club put one up and then we had to take it back down and it was a roan. And one of the important things to do is get as much information from the manufacturer as possible. That's going to be where I would start. You know, make sure you have all the information that the way they wanted it installed. And before you go to your town or whatever, it's also a good idea if you're a member to check in with the ARRL. They actually can assist you with preparing paperwork and things like that. And the rest I have very little information on because we pretty much did it all manually, little by little. But I will, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to reset. I will take another call up for the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. Are there any further stations wishing to check in?
Here is Kilo 1 Romeo, Mike November, Bob in Montville.
RMN, Bob. I'm going to send it right back up to the top to Josh. We're going to do another round through here. And Josh, K0JUB, do you have anything you got out of any of the comments? Nobody really had any comments. There are some good comments, though, actually, on some interesting, difficult projects. And on the receiver, too. That's cool stuff. I wish I had time to mess with something like that, but I don't. So, Josh, K0JEB, any further comments?
K0JB, thanks, Chuck, for the info. It does have the that choke on the loudspeaker. I never saw a speaker like that before, and I actually had to look it up online because it's definitely a unique setup. I've never seen anything like that with three wires going to the speaker instead of two. And then for Dave's comment about most challenging putting up a tower, I think the only thing that would be more challenging than that would be taking the tower down. things don't always come apart the same way they go together. For Jerry, as far as finding out information, yeah, there's definitely a lot of information. I know some of the information I found for putting up towers was actually on the FCC website, but the ARRL would probably be the best. And that's about all I have, so back to net. It's K0JB.
Jerry's tower project there. I kind of skipped him on the rerun. Good advice. FCC is also good advice, yes. Next, Kevin, KA6PDG. And Kevin, just real quick while I got you, I know you have a good ear for that. Just give me a report on my signal. I'm running relatively low power and a different mic and kind of a less than preferred setup. I was just wondering how I was getting out there today. And so, Kevin, do you have any further comments on that and on the stuff we discussed, especially if it's on the tower and stuff? Go ahead, Kevin.
First of all, your signal is full boogie from what I can tell, or very close to full quieting. Your audio is excellent. It might be a tiny, tiny, tiny bit overdriven, but not something I would mention except that you asked for a critical report. So you might back off the mic, but only a tiny bit. I don't want you to back it off a foot, you know, like maybe an inch. It's really good. You're sounding fine. I can't be too helpful on the tower question. One thought for Josh, though. Josh is a smart guy, so this is probably a base he's already covered, but I wonder if he's had any conversations with Tina and 1EAT on this project he's working on, because Tina's husband, who I believe let his license expire, I don't think he's licensed anymore, but was a ham, I know has extensively collected old radios, and I think may have restored a lot of them too, and might have some helpful hints. So didn't know if you'd touch base with Tina on your project, Josh. And I think we're all enjoying hearing about it, so do keep us posted. And good evening to Bob. Nice to hear him in here. Okay, 6PDG, back to net.
Kevin, thank you. Get good advice. I don't know Tina, but that's always good on any project to get as much Elmering as possible. I know I often need it. So next we're going to go down to K1DCT, Dave, who has put a tower up in an interesting method, and see if he has any advice or any other comments on anything we've discussed. Dave, go ahead.
All right, well, this is K1DCT. You're dredging up some ancient history for me, because I put that tower up, I'm going to say, about 1985, 86, somewhere in that. So it was quite a while ago, and still standing, never came down, never had a problem during any of the storms, hurricanes. So I guess I did one thing right anyway. So as far as advice, a lot of what I did was seat of the pants engineering. You know, I dug down about 4 feet. I took various pieces of pipe and steel rod and banged it in at various angles in that hole that I had dug, and then filled it with concrete. So wasn't anything too super technical about it. And no permits. You know, the only people that knew about it was the people that helped me. So it was, you know, back in the dark ages when you didn't worry about all those things. But the manufacturer will certainly have a lot of good advice. And mine is around 25. I think Jerry said he had a 45, which is a bigger tower, which is not a bad thing. But you're going to want to definitely, and I don't know how tall you're going to make it, so you may need to put some anchors out there to run some guy wires too. So that stuff is all available from the manufacturer to tell you, you know, where they need to go and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I wouldn't exactly follow my example. In fact, part of my job in life, I found, is to serve as a bad example, and I think I have done well. Back to net, K1DCT.
K1V here. Well, Dave, if you can still say the statement, still standing, then you've done something right. So still up there. And yeah, there is a big difference between the 25 and the 45 weight-wise. I don't think the 45 is going to require a little more equipment and to get that thing up there. I want to do one more quick call-up. Are there any further check-ins for Tri-City Amateur Radio Club? TipsNet. Then we will go on to Chuck, W1FJW. Any comments on the tower or anything else we've discussed? The old radios and so on. It's lots of information. Go ahead, Chuck.
No, no further comments. Just be careful with the tower. People do get hurt. Action at W1FJW.
Yeah. That is actually good advice. We, I know that in our club we try to adhere to the ARRL has a pretty good set, not really, I guess you call them rules to go by. They have boundaries to go by with all the proper people in place, and believe it or not, there's actually a lot of people just standing there doing nothing, which is an important job of it, you know, keeping an eye on things and making sure everybody else is doing what they're supposed to and has the right equipment on, and even the smallest towers can cause the biggest problems. So it's, get lots of help, and you never try nothing like that on your own. Get lots of help and get as much stuff set up properly as you can. And we are amateurs, so there's always that little bit of gray area, but as a matter of fact, now it is Jerry Steering, KC1, KLW. Any comments on the advice you've gotten or what anybody had to say or anything new? Go ahead, Jerry.
KC1, KLW. Thank you. Everyone for the input. I did go to the drone website and got information on this tower. And just to make sure that I didn't misspeak, it's not a 45, it's a 25. So it is a smaller one. And there's painfully little to be gotten from the drone website. They want money for their information. So that's going to be a while. I'm going to have to consider that for a long time before I actually let loose of some money for that information. So I'm going to go to the ARRL website and take a look at that information, and at the FCC as well, to see all that information they have to offer for free. And again, thanks everyone for your input. I appreciate it. And I will continue my due diligence to delve into the information available for that tower. All right, back to net control, KC1 KLW.
Jerry, yeah, very good. Yeah, just keep asking people. Someone's got a, I don't know where we got our paperwork from or who ended up with it, but we did have, although the copies were kind of rough, there was enough information on there, so I'll dig around too, because I have a similar style tower that maybe one day I'll put up, but I kind of have an incline to deal with, so it's not my highest priority at this point. And of course, Bob, K1RMN, sorry about the wait, just kind of the way you fell into the group, and I'm not too good at this. So, Bob, any comments on anything we discussed? We discussed early on difficult projects, especially dealing with older radios and stuff. Josh had discussed some of that, and of course the quick little Baofeng thing, and then we've talked about some tower stuff, putting up towers or even taking them down. Go ahead, Bob. NK1V, K1RMN, you still there, Bob? Oops, I think I lost him. All right, let me see if we should, I guess I will put out to the table if there's anybody has any further comments on anything or wants to start a new conversation or has more comments on what's already out there, please call now.
It's PDG with something to bring up.
K1DCT with an additional, but I sound like there might have been a double in there. Is there someone else that has a comment?
That K6PDG with something new to bring up.
Excellent. Let's get Dave's comment real quick. K1DCT, further comment?
Yeah, just Jerry's still listening. KLW, he's certainly welcome to come over here and look at what I've got put up, and I can tell him what I did. I'm good in QRZ. Send me an email. We live in the same town, so not a long trip. Back to net, K1 DC 2.
Thank you. Yeah, that's how we get a lot of this stuff done, is helping each other, and especially when we've done stuff and others haven't. KA6 PDG, Kevin, go ahead with your new topic.
Thanks, Steve, and you're doing an outstanding job, by the way. Before I get to the new topic, two things. For those who don't know, might be listening, I believe our buddy Tim, our net manager, is licking his wounds after a day at the dentist, so that's why he's not on the air. And Tim, if you're listening on the radio or the scanner, we wish you a speedy recovery. We all know what visits to the dentist can be like. Number two, what you might want to think about, Steve, sort of normal course of things, but you don't know, and this is training for everybody. Usually what most nets do, doesn't mean it's a rule anywhere, but usually what most nets do is after you've gotten through the list, you have new check-ins, you go ahead and recognize them first and then go to the top. Again, not a criticism, don't take it the wrong way. Okay, so here's my idea. About how we're less than an hour drive from one of the neatest ham radio locations in the world, that being ARRL headquarters up in Newington. And thinking of conversations I've had with hams, particularly on HF, guy will say, oh, you're in Connecticut. Yeah, I was back in Connecticut about 10 years ago, and while I was there, we went up to League headquarters, and we toured the W1AW station, and we got to operate the station, and man, was it fun, and well, that's an amazing place, and they go on and on about how incredible it is. As well they should, although I have never toured the station. I have been to League headquarters just talking to people once, a long time ago. So the idea is this. If what the interest level would be of maybe putting together a little field trip for the hams, either carpooling, say 4 or 5 folks want to go, or if we end up with 20 folks who want to go, maybe we could rent a little bus or something, charter a bus, it's not that expensive, or whatever, and maybe plan a field trip from southeastern Connecticut up to League headquarters. And maybe schedule it with them and see if we could maybe do some operating at W1AW, although I know you have to book that way in advance. But just the idea of going up to League headquarters and seeing the Baofeng, not the Baofeng, what am I saying, the Wofeng, and seeing the radio station, the W1AW station, and maybe meeting with one or two of the folks up there. Just an idea. I wonder what the interest level would be on that. KA6PDG, back to net.
NK1V here at the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net. Yes, Kevin. Actually, yeah, I actually thought about that when I moved Bob, held Bob down there, and then I should have kind of brought him up to the top and got his comments, and I will work on that. I don't know if that's why he disappeared or he just had other things going on, which we often do. Yeah, I think that's a good idea, or actually a great idea, because I noticed that on a first quick comment is that I lived here forever, and my grandmother used to actually live in Newington, and I'd been there, I don't know, every other weekend or whatever kind of thing, and never even heard of this place, and all the time I had, you know, it wasn't until 2 years ago that I went there, and I was actually amazed, completely amazed. And I did notice that during the tour, it was just my wife and I, it was, I think the person giving the tour would have been a little more comfortable in a large group, like they're more set up to go through with a group of people, makes it more worth their while to dig everything out and go through everything. So it's a good idea to try and get a group like that. So let me reset here real quick. Does anybody have any comments on Kevin's suggestions on doing some kind of group thing at the ARRL or anything else quick?
K1RMN with a comment.
K1RMN. Of course, Bob. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry for dropping out there. I'm mobile and I had to make a stop, and you guys were chatting, so I just had to get out. I think it'd be awesome to get a bunch of us to go up there. I myself have not been up there. I know my dad, I think, has been up there 3 or 4 times, but I think that would be a lot of fun and a nice outing. Look forward to seeing who wants to do that. Maybe we can talk about that at breakfast this Saturday. K1RMN. The other comment I had was for Jerry on the tower. I've worked with a lot of Roan stuff, and if you go to their website, they have an engineering document for each of their towers. Gives you exactly the size of the hole you need to do, exactly what you have to do for everything to put it up. So it's very precise, and it's what you'd use for anything you submit to the town. And what he has is Roan 25. It's not 45. That stuff is a lot bigger than the 25 that he's got. So good luck with that. And, you know, if you need a hand, let any of us know, because I'm sure we'll all be happy to help. K1RMN, back to net.
K0JV with a comment.
K0JV, go ahead with your comment.
K0JB, I just got a text message from the net manager for the TIPSnet, KC1TWR. He's sitting back listening, and he wanted me to mention that Tom KE1R is one of Aries Region 4 SouthNet controllers, and he is also a tour guide up there in Newington. So that might be some useful information there. It's K0JB back to net.
Thanks, Josh. Yeah, NK1V here, net control. Yeah, I got a couple emails from Tim, and not that you can see emotions in an email. It seemed like he was quite nervous, a little bit concerned about his procedures going on there, and hopefully all that went well. And Jerry, yes, I'm sorry, Bob, thanks for your comment. I forgot to neglect to tell you that. Any further comments on anything we said? Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TIPSnet, and we will go on to our next section of the net. Any further check-ins? All right, this is November Kilo 1 Victor, Steve, with the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TIPSnet, and does anyone have any announcements or things of interest to discuss? Please call now.
K1RMN with an announcement.
A6PDG with an item as an announcement, and I think there's been a couple of doubles, maybe.
From K1RMN and KA6PDG. Is there any further announcements?
K0JEB.
K1RMN, go ahead with your announcement, please.
Just a reminder to everybody about the ham breakfast in Uncasville at the Uncasville Diner, 8 o'clock Saturday morning. Hope to see everybody there. K1RMN, back to net.
Bob, ham breakfast, beat the ham breakfast. And KA6PDG, please go ahead with your announcement.
FYI, you also had K0JEB trying to get in. I didn't hear you acknowledge him. So there was a little bulletin or announcement that went out from Lynn, K1TOB. They're now starting to take volunteer amateur operators who want to work the Manchester Road Race on Thanksgiving morning. And actually, this is something I've always wanted to do. It's just sometimes family plans get in the way. Ironically, my sister-in-law usually runs in it. But if anyone's interested in operating and needs the information on who to contact, let me know and I'll forward the email to you. Or if you get the bulletins that K1 Tango Oscar Bravo puts out, check your email on that. It's also, they welcome new operators. They team you up with somebody experienced, and it's guaranteed to be a lot of fun. That's all I got. KA6PDG. Thank you.
Kevin, thank you. That's a big event, and yeah, I've got to start putting that thing together. And we all know it's on Thanksgiving Day, so. Josh, K0JEV, your announcement.
K0JB, thanks. October 26th is going to be the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club auction, and I want to putting a call out looking for volunteers for the event. If anyone's interested in and able to commit to helping out with the auction, please contact me. My contact information is good on QRZ. I want to try and get a list of volunteers together that can work the auction, and I want to get it done sooner than later. So if anyone's able to help out even a little bit, the more the merrier. It's K0JB, back to net control.
Okay, Josh, yeah, thank you for that information. I just put it on my calendar. For some reason, I didn't even have it on there. Okay, so now we will, there's no further announcements. We will go to the last section, which I will open the floor for anybody who has anything they'd like to swap or sell or they're looking for related to amateur radio. Please come with your call sign. This is November Kilo 1 Victor, net control for the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Weekly Tips Net. Are there any additional check-ins, last-minute stuff for the net? Please call now. Okay, that was last call, and if we have no further check-ins, I'm going to close the net at this time. Thanks to all who participated in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net, and thanks to all who stood by as we conducted the net. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net and has their meeting on the second Tuesday of each month at the American Red Cross office at 1031 Route 32, Montville, Connecticut. The meeting starts at 7:30 p.m., and we are open to all interested persons, licensed or not. Information about the club may be found at www.tricityarc.com. We thank John, W1AN, for the use of this repeater. This net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular use. This is NK1B. Good evening to all. 7-3.